Gather round, take a seat, relax. It's the Verbringen with Rabbi Levi Avtzon, right here on 101.9 High FM.
This is 101.9 High FM. My name is Rabbi Levi Avtzon of Linksfield Shul. How are you? How was the last month? How was Yom Tov? I think we had a show before Yom Kippur. It's been a few weeks. It's been a very beautiful and uplifting and intense and full time. I don't know what routine looks like. But Monday is Tuesday. Tuesday's before Yom Tov, which leads to Wednesday, which is Yom Tov. All right. Tuesday already is Yom Tov. Gosh, I don't even know what the Monday or Tuesday look like, but I'm sure by after a week or two, we'll get into it. And then obviously we're going to go on the summer vacation. And now it's time, as they say in the Hasidic lingo, to start unpacking the bags. For the last month, the month of Tishrei, which is concluding tonight's Rosh Chodesh, the end of the Jewish month and the beginning of a new month, we're concluding a two-month journey. The month of Elul, which was the prep month, and the month of Tishrei, which was the, you know, hitting the ground and bringing it all in. And we've packed our suitcases with a lot of inspiration, a lot of food, a lot of experiences, a lot of upliftment, and a lot of intensity, especially just the way the setup of the Yom Tovs, midweek Shabbos. It's been a very intense time. And now, till we get through it, please God, in good health, and then we do it again the next year, now it's time to start unpacking the bags. Because that's really what it is. It's just like going on a trip, right? Some people go on holidays every week, every other week. Most people, if they could afford a holiday, they go once or twice a year. But they hope that the journey that they took, whether it was to the beach, whether it was to the bush, whether it was overseas, will keep them uplifted somewhat. Obviously not at that level of intensity, but a bit for the next few months as they go on the journey. And that's really what it is. This month is by far the most intense month of the Jewish calendar. Obviously, Pesach's intense, but not this level. Hanukkah is full of light, and Purim has its vibe, and Shavuot has its vibe, and the 3 weeks of mourning have their energy. But there's nothing that comes close to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Simchas Torah, and everything we just went through the month of Elul before that. And now it's time to start unpacking. And there's lots of things to unpack. I mean, each one of us has had our own experiences, whether you went to shul and you heard, you know, you heard shiurim, you heard lectures, you heard sermons, or you went through your own journey, whether you stayed home. And we all went through some form of journey, I'd like to believe, in the last few weeks, last few months. And now it's time to start unpacking. And one of the things I want to start with unpacking, at least for today's show, with today's Verbringen, is, and we're actually going to play a song in just a few moments on that theme, is how we were not made to be alone. We were made to be part of something bigger, community, family. We belong to something outside of ourselves, which is a very, very important theme that we often forget, and that is that it's not only about us. You know, COVID, one of the interesting downsides is it convinced people that they're okay alone, right? You know, as an introvert myself, I have to say COVID wasn't all bad. I mean, there was a lot of bad, and there was a lot of sickness, and a lot of, unfortunately, as a rabbi, I did quite a few funerals that were just devastating on every level. But lockdown for me, I found myself accomplishing more than I ever did. I was learning more. I was more at peace. The mandates of my role took a huge step back. I can't say it was too difficult, at least not the first and second lockdown. I actually found it quite refreshing. And the narrative that many people walked out of that time is, who needs shul? Who needs community? We're okay alone. But we weren't. Zoom bar mitzvahs. Everyone thought, oh, after Zoom bar mitzvahs, no one's going to ever do the big parties. I'm not saying I'm a big fan of wasting your money on big parties, but that fantasy that no one's going to go back to parties was rubbish. And yes, some business meetings have stopped. thanks to Zoom. But I'll be honest, most people I know are back to flying planes and going to meetings, and they're not having Zoom meetings because, yes, the Zoom stock did pretty well in the Google Meet over that time. But we also learned that there's no replacement of sitting across a person. It's no replacement because we are human beings. And in the words of the Rambam, Maimonides, Adam hum medini, the human being is a social, political creature. And not political in the negative sense, politicians are all corrupt kind of thing. Political in the fact of we work with other people and we interact with other people and we navigate this world, right? A baby starts seeing themselves through the eyes of the parents. When the parent smiles at them, they feel loved. When the parent is in a growly mood, the child feels unloved. We were born to not only have self-esteem, but to also see ourselves in others and to need each other's company. And loneliness is a terrible, terrible condition. Alone is not a problem. We all have moments that we need to be alone. But loneliness, when you don't belong to anybody, when nobody cares about you, in a real way, not in theory. Some people walk around saying, I love all people. Yeah. How many people does that include? 12? Nobody loves all 8 billion people. That's rubbish. It's just a nice thing to post on your Instagram feed and sound, you know, very virtuous. But loneliness is when there's no one that actually cares about you as an individual. And that's why Haknasas Archim, inviting guests into our home, is such a big mitzvah, to make sure nobody's lonely. I said, you know, tzedakah, charity is important, but you could still be charitable and keep a distance. Inviting people into your home, showing up to their door, being there for people, visiting people. It's a huge act of kindness because none of us were born to be alone. And I think one of the things I'm taking out of this last month, even though, yes, it was intense, and as I joked with my community, by the time the month was up, it felt like that saying that they say about family, that family is like fish. It goes off after a few days. Spending a lot of time with the same people every single day can get a bit overwhelming. I know it sounds glamorous, but it could get intense. But still, it also reminds us we need each other. None of us were created to be alone. I don't care how healthy your self-esteem is, but each one of us needs, whether it is we need a spouse, whether we have our children, whether grandchildren, whether we have our siblings, whether we have our close friends, whether we have our parents, whether we have our community, whether we have our CSO buddies, whether we have the ladies that we work in the kitchen, whatever it is, a human being cannot survive alone. We need each other, which leads to a whole conversation. But before we go into the conversation and how it connects to the upcoming Shabbos project in 2 weeks' time, two and a half weeks' time, I first want to share this song. It's called Holy Song. A gorgeous song came out a few weeks ago. This is Holy Song by Israel Portnoy on 101.9 Chai FM.
This is the Fabringen with Rabbi Levi Avtson on 101.9 Chai FM.
One soul singing alone is a lonely song. Two souls singing is a holy song. Love those lyrics. So true. And I'm not the first one to say this, and I'll definitely not be the last, that society is struggling with relationships. And a big reason for that is we're much more comfortable hiding behind a WhatsApp or a Instagram post. And we're all projecting to each other through smiley faces and emojis and posts of our perfect family. I don't use a lot of social media. Literally, the only social media I'm on is WhatsApp, if that's called social media. And I post a little bit to my status. And I often find that, like, literally, I'm just posting what the shul's doing, etc. And people walk over to me and have this image of what's going on that's so false. And it's all based on just posting facts. But there's a narrative, and the narrative that gets built in people's mind is often very different, right? They say this expression, never meet your hero, because you suddenly see them as a human being. Until then, they were a fantasy. But But in some way, we're all doing that to each other. We're not engaging real human to human, but rather screen to screen. And a human, each side of the phone is another human being projecting through the screen and through the messages they're sending and through the pictures they're posting of what they want you to see of them, right? I want you to see my successes. I don't want you to see my struggles. I want you to see when I'm in a good mood, right? So I'll post then on a bad day, on a day that I'm struggling, a hard day. I don't like the word bad day, but a hard day, we'll post less. Or then there's other people that want to be super vulnerable and they start sharing all their dirty laundry with or all their pain and everything without any filter. But again, that's also an image that we're trying to project. I'm the vulnerable one that I share everything that I'm going through. And those are all stories we're trying to sell. It's not, again, it's not the real human being. And one of the things I love about this year's Shabbos Project, and I don't think I've ever spoken about the Shabbos Project, in this way, but it's encouraging people to go off their phone for Shabbos, 25 hours without a phone. And it's deeply resonated. Even before I knew that this would be the theme this year, I spoke about it in Shul on Rosh Hashanah. And some of the best feedback I received was from a person who told me that after talking, asking people to put their phone away, someone did, and they told me how rewarding it is. And you know what? Not everyone's going to find it rewarding because a lot of us are addicts to our phone, but that's why we need to do it. And whether it's the Shabbos Project, whether it's a Yom Tov, whether it's any Shabbos of the year, if you are awkward around people and comfortable around your phone, my friend, you have a problem. Not you. If I am more comfortable talking to people through the phone than face to face, I have a problem. And many of us are like that. Right? We're so desperate every time the WhatsApp rings to go check, you know, which message came up or someone, one of our favorite person posted on Instagram. We have to go follow and see what they posted. But are we as excited to meet them in person and sit across people at a Shabbos lunch, at a bracha, at the shul, and just chat about the weather? Doesn't have the thrill. Receiving a message from people has a certain thrill, which is obviously orchestrated by the businesses who are trying to make a fortune out of having our eyes look at the screen. But none of us get the same thrill talking to people the way we get the thrill of receiving a message from that same person, ironically. And one of the big messages I'm taking out of this last Chag is we need each other. Humans need humans. We encourage each other. We push each other. We celebrate together. We cry together. We know this. I mean, when someone loses a loved one, the family, the community rallies around them. When someone has a simcha, we rally around them. Mazel tov, it's so beautiful. We dance together. At our saddest times, we need people around us. At our happiest time, we need people around us. And on a day-to-day, we need people around us. You know, this week's Torah portion talks about the flood, the great flood, the story of Noah. Some of you might know the basic outline or some more in detail, not at all. But at some stage, about 4,300 years ago, 4,100 years ago, God decides to destroy the whole world, all of civilization and many of the animals, and kind of restart again. And only a small family, Noah and his wife Nama and their three sons and their wives survive, eight people survive. Maybe one other character, according to the Medrash, a guy named Og, but it was a small, small crowd that survived the flood. And Noah spends his whole time, the whole year of the flood, in an ark, the story of Noah's ark, keeping the animals alive, etc. But there's a scene when the flood's over, and he is commanded by God that Tzei min ha-teva, get out of the ark. It's time to start building. What's the first thing he does after bringing sacrifices to God? It says, Vayita Kerem, he planted a vineyard and grapes came out and he fermented them and he made wine and he got drunk. And then the whole story of him being violated by his son Ham and grandchild. And Rabbi Lau brings in his book about this fellow that interpreted it, that why did Noah get drunk? Because the poor fellow comes out after a year and locked in an ark. And even though he knew the world was destroyed, emotionally, he suddenly realizes that every single thing he knew about his world is gone. The world's gone. The guy entered the ark a year ago. And the world was full of people and animals and houses and towns and city squares and civilization. And he exits the same ark a year later, and it's desolate. There's barely a tree. There's no animals other than the ones that were with him in the ark. What a moment. It's the ultimate isolation, the ultimate loneliness. And then he's betrayed by his own son. How painful. And the message of this, I believe, is this idea that we have to be looking out for people around us who are lonely and try our best to remove that from them. Right? In your community, there are people who have no family, who belong to nobody. Do you check in on them? Right, there's always this haunting story about this person that passes away and isn't discovered for weeks because no one checked over. Obviously, that's an extreme example, but extremes do sometimes show the problems in the system. The exceptions sometimes tell us a bit about the rule. There should be nobody in our community that's lonely. Everyone deserves to be seen. It's the most basic human need. In many ways, even more than water and food, is being seen. I see you. I see it all the time. As a rabbi, I'll show up to a place and someone will walk over to me and say, "Rabbi, do you know who I am?" And I hate when they do that because it's so awkward. Like, if I do, lucky me, but you're setting me self. And sometimes I do know who they are, but just putting me on the spot like that, you know, my mind goes blank and I'm like, yeah, I do know you. So please don't do that. It's not a fair thing to do. But at the heart, why are people doing that? They're doing it because if I'm seen, then I matter. We all need to be seen. Sometimes it's even be seen by the people closest to us. We could belong to a lot of people, but nobody sees us. We could be in a marriage where our spouse doesn't see us. Truly see. A child doesn't see us. We don't see our children, our siblings. See, look and see. We need each other. People think that, you know, when a rabbi gets up and says, "Come to shul more often," that it's a religious calling. It's some guilt that the rabbi is like, "Come on, you know, you're paying your membership, might as well come the whole year." There's a part of it that's a religious calling, but the biggest part, or at least the equal part, is a social calling. We need to belong to communities. We need to belong to groups, whether it's a biking club, whether it's a tennis group, whether, you know, paddle, hooking together, some form of chesed organization. Belonging to each other is so healthy. So healthy. But we're not encouraging it to our kids. We're not, you know, I was thinking about it this morning. I don't know why it hit me. We raise kids and basically they go to school and they finish school, let's say 2-3 in the afternoon, depending on which school, some even later. And then they start running around. They're going to play their golf and they're going to play their tennis. They're going to play their netball and they're going to play this. They're going to swim. And then they go to extra maths and extra this and extra that. And they're excelling in so many areas, right? They often meet Barmy families and Bati families, and each one's telling me this whole resume of this 12-year-old as if they've lived 150 years based on all their successes. But when are we learning how to live? Not how to play tennis, how to live. Which hours are designated to living? How to be around family, how to engage with human beings, how to connect, how to think, how to explore, how to feel, how to care for others, chesed in a way that doesn't only give me a pin on my jacket, but intrinsically are building my character and doing the right thing. When do our kids and when do we live? Watching Netflix is not living. Sitting on your phone on WhatsApp is not living. How many hours a day or a week are we actually just living, interacting with each other, sitting around having a normal conversation as human beings, thinking, reflecting, processing, doing, and building our character, living? And often we do that with each other. Sometimes alone, but sometimes each other. But we need each other. We need people around us that are helping us in this journey of life. Right? Life's not about how much excellence we had in our business and in our sport and in our this and in our that. Life's about doing goodness. Life's about becoming a better version of ourselves every single day. Life's about caring and making an impact into other people's lives. Life is about seeing others and being seen, et cetera, et cetera. Back to where we started. For me, one of the big lessons of this past month is that we need each other and we need to learn to put the technology away, not only because what it's exposing us to and the distractions and the rubbish and the narratives, but also because it's an escape of real living. Real living is sitting across one another and engaging, sitting with ourselves and reflecting, but being in this world, in this real, real world, this messy world, this world where nobody is what they're trying to project on their status. It's real. We're all real human beings. I remember hearing a line that says, our deepest secrets is actually what we share the most in common with one another. Our humanity, we're all humans, we're all struggling, we're all trying to make better choices. But in order to do that, sometimes the only thing we have to do is put our phone away, shut our screen, and start living. This is 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Rabbi Levi Avtson of Leesfield Shul, and this is the Fabringen Show every Tuesday from 1 to 2 p.m.
This is the Fabringen with Rabbi Levi Avtson on 101.9 Chai FM.
This is 101.9 Chai FM. You were just listening to Mama Rachel, song so beautifully, and it's actually the yahrzeit of the matriarch of the Jewish people, Rachel Imenu, in just a few days' time, sometime next week. And yeah, just asking her to pray on our behalf, just a beautiful melody that just talks to the time and finishes off with the words V'shavu bani migbulam, asking that all our kids come back home. The remaining captives, murdered ones, should please God come home and receive the burial. And please God, there should be comfort and true lasting peace through strength and a safe Israel and a safe world. So we need each other. And we often forget how much we need one another. And we scream and we shout and we holler. You know, I've noticed something a few years ago that when someone has a deep variable of fight with a loved one, they usually never stop talking about it. There's very few people that cut off a family member and never talk about them again. Most of the time, it's always on the mind because it's unnatural. It's unnatural to be cut off from somebody, especially someone you love. And therefore, it always niggles on us. And if we were so okay never talking to them again, then why are we talking about it all day and every day? Because it's there. It's present. We were born to need each other. We were born to forgive. We were born to be understanding, to be kind. And that's the real unpacking of the bags of the month we just had. I know that as a shul rabbi, this month was beyond intense and rewarding, but beyond intense. And you invest so much to make the Rosh Hashanah perfect, the Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Simchas Torah, the whole lead up and courses and this and that. And now what? Now we go into November where everyone just kvetches and says they can't wait for the year to end. Then December holidays, then trying to restart again. What are we going into? And I believe what we're going into is trying to take this high level of intensity into real life. And one of the ways we could do it is to start seeing each other more. All imperfect. You know, I was thinking, often we get hurt by each other and then we get very begrudged and we get very upset. And then the person who did the crime to us, they started it, but now we're carrying it forward. By holding the grudge, we're carrying this darkness forward. The alternative is to just let go, to bring healing. I don't think there'll ever be peace between Palestinians and Israelis. I think that's impossible, and I think it's wishful. I think maybe some cautious boundaries and some form of respect, but peace is actually a dangerous fantasy because it makes Israel do compromises that just end up undermining it. But here's what peace I do believe in our communities, in our families, in our leadership. Most of us think that world problems are easy to solve. Oh, let's just solve Russia and Ukraine. I know exactly what Putin should do, and I know what Zelensky should do. Obviously, Putin talks to me every morning and says, hey, Avtsom, what do you think? And Zelensky calls right after. Nobody's waiting to hear my opinion. But what we could do is in our lives. Most of us think it's a big mitzvah to follow the news and know everything that's going on as if it makes any difference to those victims or to those people being affected by the news, the fact that I know or don't know. We spend hours on the news and then contrasting on what does CNN say and what does Fox News say and what does SABC and what does this guy and what does that person and that and this website and that and this WhatsApp group and this Telegram. It's not the stuff that matters. Stuff that matters is me. Not because I'm the center of the world. Me as in each one of us, because that's in my control. I can be a better person. I can be a more productive member of society. I could spend less time on my phone. I can be engaged with my spouse. I can be a better parent. I can be a better community member. I could contribute more. Stop living in the world of the big stuff. A famous joke about the woman that turns to her husband and says, you make all the decisions, the big decisions, like who will be the next president of the United States and what should Israel do the next phase in the war and, you know, and what should China and Russia do? You make the big decisions. I'll make the small decisions like what's going to happen in the home and where we're going to live and what we're going to do and all that stuff. It's a very telling joke because big stuff don't actually matter. I'm not saying you have to be a head in the sand, but we don't have to spend 5 hours a day following every piece of news. What I could do, and which is a way of the greatest way of honoring the hostages that still have to come home, the soldiers that gave their life up, and all the lives lost and all the pain, the greatest way is me building my life better, another healthy family, another healthy human, another productive Jewish community. That's what we could do. The greatest thing we could do in our little town, other than saying Tehillim and praying for our beloved homeland, is building our community even stronger. Keep on shining the light. That's my final message. Please God, we could keep on shining the beautiful light of the South African Jewish community, unparalleled in the world, a magnificence, something absolutely incredible. And the only way we keep on shining this light is through confidence, through commitment, and through forgiveness. Wishing you a great week. Shavua Tov. God bless you all.